Welcome to The Long Two, a fantasy basketball podcast from fake teams. My name is Natty. His name is Brandon. If you are a fantasy baseball player, you should check out faketeams.com. There is a hell of a lot of content. People are excited for the season. There's a bunch of great stuff on there, and it'll help you in your drafts for sure. It certainly helps me in mine. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Sunday night. You know, it's not getting dark so early, so that's cool. We had some decent weather, so it's great. And then, you know, there's a ton of basketball. I think probably more people are watching the tournament right now, but there were some great NBA matchups too. And so it's just a great, great weekend of basketball. And
obviously everyone watched Pacers Blazers earlier this afternoon instead of Duke Michigan State.
Yeah. Watched it twice. Yeah. it's been a good weekend. It's a good sports weekend. And, you know, here on the East Coast, we're starting to get some good weather. So I think we all welcome that.
So the tournament is always incredible. It's one of my favorite sporting events of all time. It's just such a weird thing. Like, you put fucking 69 teams, together, and you're just like, man, just go see who wins.
And well, that's the beauty of basketball.
Dude, and Kentucky lost again because they can't fucking play against a zone. They can't play against a basic defensive formation. It's unreal.
And well, that's the thing. So can I just say one, and this is probably my rant, but that's the thing right now with like basketball is these kids now, everyone talks about how this generation of players, they're so much more skilled. They have so many more, they're handling and they're shooting and all this, but these guys don't know like basic concepts that, you know, every kid knew that played even at like the local Y back in the day. Like, they don't know how to set screens. They don't know how to break a zone. They don't know how to deal with the press, right? Like, they don't make that extra pass. Like, they can all do a million Kyrie Irving dribbles, but, like, it's just not the same. They don't learn the game the same. So,
dude, you know, yesterday, we're recording Sunday night. Yesterday, I'm watching Go Blue Michigan Wolverines against Tennessee with my brother, and, like, Michigan couldn't inbound the ball. You know, like, we ended up winning, God bless, go blue. But it's basic stuff like you just said. Like, you have to be able to know where to put the ball, where players should be under certain situations. I don't really know why that kind of basic geometry of the – like, how do you beat a zone? You go inside. Like, you just puncture it. Like, it's not hard. You just have to know where to go. Like, you, as soon as you see a zone, you have to react to it. I have no idea why that sort of seems to have been replaced with, like,
well, it's just,
the
it's
math on the court. Like, you want threes, you want layups, you want penetration.
Well, there's just an emphasis now, like, with player development at all levels on training more so than, like, playing games. And so you see like videos of any, your favorite superstar, and like, he's working out with like a trainer. You don't see videos of him practicing with his teammate. He's working with a dude who's has him doing like drills. And like, that's why these guys can do like the moves they can do are just out of this world. And, you know, they've trained. So they're maximizing like their athleticism and all that, but people don't spend as much time like just playing like as kids, like as a kid growing up, there was just a lot more pickup basketball, you know, and all sports, even like baseball. I used to play baseball like, in the street. Like, kids don't do that anymore, you know, and that stopped a while ago. So this generation,
I mean, our parents would kick us out of the house. Be like, I bought you that shit for a reason. Yeah. Go leave. I don't want to see you till dinner. And it's like 9:30 in the morning. Like, get out of the house.
Yeah. But we sound like the old men right now. So
sure, but I do think that's interesting because it's like a generation of isolation players, even though at the NBA, everyone loves the beautiful movement game and switching. Mm-hmm. And like, but I mean, everyone keeps getting drafted younger and younger, and then you learn that stuff in the NBA. So maybe it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
Okay. Speaking of the NBA, we are going to talk about four different potential playoff matchups that intrigue us in the NBA. These things might not happen. The races are still pretty tight. A lot of movement could occur in the standings, except for the Phoenix Suns, who have 57 wins. The next closest win total is 49 by the Memphis Grizzlies. So the Suns are sitting pretty. They have confirmed their place in the playoffs, I'm pretty sure. The teams that are currently out of the playoffs that have been eliminated are the Houston Rockets, the Indiana Pacers, the Detroit Pistons, we all need more Blaha, and the Orlando Magic. The OKC Thunder will be eliminated shortly, this week probably. But everything else is still basically up for grabs. And several of the play-in teams that have lower seeds have players that we know can advance in the playoffs despite the seeding, like the Brooklyn Nets and the LA Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers, excuse me. So our first intriguing matchup is in the Western Conference. I chose the Western matchups. Brandon chose the East. The Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic versus the Denver Nuggets with Nikola Jokic. I want to see this matchup because I think those two dudes and these two teams will be significant in the Western Conference for, like, at least the next 5 years, maybe the next decade.
Now, what also, just real quick on this, those two guys, I would say that one thing's cool. It seems like they're really good friends, and they like have this whole like back and forth thing they were doing like all through the All-Star break and like where they would like crash each other's interviews. And but also, I would say those are probably the two most, I guess you'd have to throw LeBron in there, but the two most successful one-man teams in the league right now for me, because I think everyone else has at least a second, if not third guy, whereas these guys are kind of doing it with the cast of just, you know, weekend warriors, not to disrespect them, but it's like, so.
Sadiq Bey has something to say about that, but whatever, 50 points, no big deal. They're both, I mean, Luka isn't going to be an MVP candidate this year, probably, unless the Mavs go on a huge run because he started so poorly and was obviously out of shape. But he has played like an MVP for most of the season, and the Mavericks are a damn good team. And I completely agree. Like, the supporting cast around these guys is there's an ultra star and then there's everyone else. And we're trying to get role players. With Denver, it's sort of more by accident, because they should have Jamal Murray and they should have Michael Porter Jr., and they don't. So the construction of that team has just sort of been like, well, we don't have two of our three best players, so let's see what we can do. Oh, Jokic is so good that we're actually still a great team. And they didn't really do anything at the trade deadline, right?
No, so, I think. By the way, just quickly, I think Jamal Murray, isn't he joining a G League team soon?
Yeah, I don't really know how to gauge that sort of thing, because it's like, have they kept him out? Oh, sure, he could be back for potential. Sure. Yes,
absolutely. Him is done, and it sounds like there's a chance he could be back in some capacity.
There's potential for Kawhi. There's potential for PG-13. We don't know when Chris Paul's coming back. AD is up in the air. I mean, well, there's like
a lot of dudes. In these teams, we're sticking to these two teams. But yeah, I mean, these teams
Hold on. If that happens, fuck Michael Porter Jr. for a second. Like, let's not even think about him. If Jamal Murray comes back and can play, that team ceiling increases by a significant margin at the worst, right?
I think if he can come back, if he can even be a guy who can play 20 to 25 minutes, I think that puts them pretty much in the top. Not, they're not better than Phoenix, but they're kind of in that next tier after that.
But what if CP3 doesn't come back? What if Steph doesn't come back? What if they come back but they can't play, you know, full games? Like, yeah. What if they're slow? They could end up being the best team. Because of availability.
I'd still give a slight edge to Phoenix even without CP3 right now, but other than that, wow. I'm not taking them over anyone else. I mean, I'm not taking anyone else over them really with any sort of conviction.
I agree. Okay. They're right there. So, and since Dallas traded Kristaps Porzingis and got back Spencer Dinwiddie and the Latvian laser Davis Bertans, they've been sensational too. Like, Dinwiddie yep. provides another playmaker and another penetrator and a guy that can take last shots. And, you know, he's like not the best 3-point shooter ever, but like he's dangerous at all three levels. And yeah, he looked garbage in Washington. He looked like garbage in Washington.
He did his efficiency was horrendous. And, but I mean, the things he can do, especially when paired up with a Luka Doncic, who's arguably on any given night the best player in the NBA. I mean, he's still a really, really good player that can score and that can run the point, and he's 6'6", so he can guard like three or four positions even. He's a guy that like I really liked a lot, and when you pair him with they actually started him at the three in their last game, I believe, because they're going with
Jalen Brunson and Luka and Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
That is amazing in a crazy ass fucking way. Like that. And they have a good defense. Oh my God.
We talked about that right after that trade, right? We said that that's where we'd see this team going with the three guards, and it's been working. And Finney Smith has been really good, and you know, they're getting good minutes from Powell. So, you know, their ceiling is capped, and that kind of sucks because, you know, as well as Luka's played, I think people like should go back and look at what he did in the playoffs last year and just remind yourself that like the numbers he put up were like some of the best numbers in the history of like basketball. And it's an obviously in a small sample, but he's only had, I mean, the guy's like, what, 22? You know, he kind of showed in the opportunity he got, he showed like, I can put up just as good of a performance as LeBron or, you know, Kevin Durant or any of these guys. So I like Dallas. I think Denver's better. I think Jokic is the best piece in basketball right now. Like if you're going to build around a guy and you want someone who's, I think Kevin Durant is the deadliest player in the game, but I think Jokic, it works with, you can put anyone around him and they're still going to be good. There's no bad fits with him, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can put a ball dominant guy, a non-dominant guy, you can put a 3-and-D, you can put a big with him, you can put small guys with him. Like, and so, you know, I think they're just, he's just willing this team, and I'm not betting against that guy in any series. I still think Phoenix is the best team, but I don't want to bet against them.
His defense has gotten better. He's arguably like put distance between himself and Embiid and Giannis just because of how well the team has done in the MVP race, I think.
I think so.
He's still super young. For Dallas, they don't have Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, he's out injured. But I don't think that a team with Luka can be dismissed in the playoffs because he makes the other team play at his pace. Like, he's not the best athlete out there by leaps and bounds. Neither is a Joker. you know, it's two slow fucking white guys from Eastern Europe, and they're like, no, we're going to play the way I want to. I don't fucking, yeah, run all you want. Who cares?
Well, they're not playing that American, they didn't grow up playing the same style as the Americans, so.
Dude, but when you can control the game to the point where, like, the pace is dictated by you, then that changes the entire complexion of the game. And watching those two go against each other, I think, would be incredible. I don't think it'll work out that way. I don't think they're going to meet up this playoffs. But if the Warriors fade without Steph a little bit, you know, the Mavericks and the Nuggets are like fourth and fifth. Like, they could, you know, they're just a couple of wins away from changing things up. Like, a lot could change in the West, depending.
Yeah.
Especially if Golden State fades out. But, dude, Dorian Finney-Smith is so important to what the Mavericks do for their defense. I mean, he's going to be on the other team's best player, except he can't do that in a Denver series. Yeah. So I am a little skeptical of Dallas's ability to beat an elite big. And that's why I would lean towards Denver winning the series, because I do sort of feel like Joker can take advantage of Dallas's. I mean, they're not. Dallas is an incredible defensive team, by the way. They're sixth in defensive rating as a team.
Yeah, but they have Dwight Powell, and I get it. They're not.
They're 26th in rebounds per game. 26. That means they're fourth worst. Like, they're also not a great outside shooting team. They're 22nd in three-point percentage as a team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm taking Denver. I'm taking Denver. But I do think it's a great matchup, and I think Luka, he'll put up, like, historic numbers in a losing effort in that series.
Neither team goes to the line as much. They're just so methodical, but it's amazing that Dallas has such a good defense, and it's amazing that Joker has willed this team without MPJ or Murray. Like, it's stunning to me. Those two guys are so fucking goddamn good. It's really, really cool. All right, so let's move to an Eastern Conference matchup. Brandon, let's talk Raptors-Bulls. Yeah. The Raptors are currently in the seventh seed, and the Bulls are in the fifth. The Bulls are sort of free-falling a little bit right now, but and Toronto is doing just fine. Brandon, Bulls-Raptors, red versus red, what do you got?
So I like this matchup a lot because I feel like these teams kind of have, like, almost a similar identity, but they go about it a different way as far as the personnel.
Interesting.
So, you know, with the Bulls, right, you have, like, a lot of the defensive prowess coming from the guard spot. And then your forwards are more like skilled. They're bigs. Their wings and forwards are a little bit more like skilled guys. And then with the Raptors, you kind of have, like, these tenacious forwards, and then you have, like, scoring from the guard position, right? And obviously Van Vliet too, right? But I just think that this would be, like, a tough-nosed, like, old school. Like, I could see there being a fight in this series. Like,
sure.
This just seems like it'll be really fun. And, like, Scotty Barnes right now, in the last episode, you said Scotty was probably the guy you're taking out of everyone in this class besides – did you say even over Cade?
If I did, like, I mean, go Pistons forever. But, like, Scotty is – maybe I said it for fantasy because he's a triple-double waiting to happen all the time.
Yeah, he just continues to get better by the week. He's still – you can tell that his game – the thing that's intriguing about him is, like, he's still really not even, like, that skilled of an offensive player, and he's having games where he drops 30, and it's like, so when he figures out, it's kind of like, reminds you of Kawhi, right? Like, where Kawhi was just, like, a defender who was an athlete who just had, like, these ridiculous hands and strength, and then once he figures it out, and he becomes, like, arguably the best player in the league for a year and a half.
Also, sorry, fantasy nerd alert for Scotty Barnes. There's a possibility that next year he gains eligibility at point guard, a forward position, and center. Like, he could end up just being like in, like LeBron. You know, he has eligibility everywhere.
Yeah. And then on the Bulls side, you know, I think a big thing right now that I'm paying attention to is like Lonzo Ball's recovery.
Right.
It doesn't really seem to be progressing as nicely as you'd expect. So, you know, who knows if they can really rely on him. I think if he comes back, that really changes their fortune. You know, they're going to do the best with what they've got. They've got Dosunmu playing all right. They've got Caruso back. They have Kobe White giving them good minutes off the bench. And then LaVine can play make a little bit. But they miss Lonzo out there being a defender, playmaker. And he was shooting the ball really well before he got hurt. Like, yeah. I mean, he was just as good as anybody right in the game right now as a 3-and-D. He's a kind of a 3-and-D point guard. So, you know, I think like Lonzo is really going to dictate how far the Bulls go. But I just think this will be like probably the scrappiest series. And so that was kind of why I wanted to look at this one.
The Bulls are getting Patrick Williams back, but who knows what kind of availability he'll have. A couple of stats. Chicago has the 10th best offensive rating. Toronto has 15th best. Toronto is 14th in defensive. The Bulls are 20th. Like, that could be a real fucking terror because of what you said, Lonzo. Like, Lonzo and Caruso being able to be not only the elite defensive force for the team, but also the bridge to the second unit. That sucks. Caruso's back, but we'll see how much he gets to play. Chicago is 28th in rebounding per game. That seems like it's going to be a problem against Toronto to me, because they're 11th. This team, it's two DeRozan teams, which I love. It's two Red teams, which I love. It's two teams that play basketball in ways that not a lot of the other teams in the league are emulating. Like, you know, like DeRozan starts at the four sometimes. Like, no one thought that DeRozan would have a down ballot MVP season.
Yeah.
And also no one anywhere, not even his parents or his children or his wife, have talked about Nikola Vucevic. No one has uttered his name since I just did this entire season. He's a better center proper than anyone in Toronto. But he's not going to be able to defend in the ways that the Toronto bigs, you know, quote unquote, can. So that would be an incredible and interesting matchup, I think. Like, what happens in the paint? Do you just put Scotty Barnes on Vooch? You know, like, is FVV just going to roast whoever they put at the point, no matter what? Because if, let's say you put Caruso on, but then Gary Trent is wide open, right? And he's one of the best 3-point shooters in the league this year. Like, LaVine, the dentist, has to run around, like, expending all his energy guarding him. If OG and Siakam and Scotty are all healthy, then I feel like Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent can just go nuts because it's like a thicket of arms. And then you can throw in Precious Achiuwa and Kem Birch. You know, like, the Toronto's a little bit thin, actually, once you get away from the guys in the paint. But they're a tremendous athletic team. They can outrun anybody. And if their shots are falling, like if the forwards' shots can fall from three, then they're as dangerous as any other team in the NBA, I think. But that requires a little bit of luck. And if everyone's healthy in Chicago, like if Lonzo can come back and you can throw Lonzo, Dosunmu, and Caruso. Like, that's a game changer.
Maybe, and Patrick Williams, potentially.
And Patrick Williams, right.
So I think health is because you mentioned OG Anunoby. He's still out for at least another week, it sounds like. Ugh, so, God. You know, we'll see what happens with him. I do think that, like, athletically and just, like, you know, I think that the Raptors' length and athleticism poses a problem for them. But at the same time, I mean, you've got, like, guys who are proven buckets on Chicago, too, and DeRozan and LaVine. And, like, there's been no answer for DeRozan this year. So who guards him? I guess you put Pascal on him. That'd be an interesting matchup.
Right. It's going to look a little bit weird with the defensive matchups for Toronto against Chicago, because it's like you can't expect Fred VanVleet to really properly guard the point of attack if that's going to be DeRozan. Like, it depends on how they attack you, Chicago, I guess. Like, who gets the ball coming up the court? It's also, you know, Tad Young is on Toronto. Maybe that, like, helps them out a little bit, you know, like, he's not in Chicago, could actually use him. Chicago is a strangely good 3-point shooting team, even though they have DeRozan. They don't take as many threes, but maybe that'll change. The rebounding, though, like, if Toronto's just getting all these second chance opportunities, then that's going to be a gigantic problem for Chicago to overcome. Did I write down? Oh, Chicago's 21st in free throw attempts per game as a team, but Toronto is only 18th, so there's not a huge disparity there. I think that would be an amazing matchup. Like, Chicago's defense, like I said, it's 20th defensive rating, but that's because Lonzo and Caruso were out. Like, they were good at the beginning of the year.
I think they were like sixth or seventh at one point in the year. So they were up there. At one point, they were top 10 in offensive and defensive rating when they were healthy to start the year. And that's why they were in first place. But again, health and Lonzo, I mean, that guy's been, he gets hurt every year. So, you know, we can't really bank on him necessarily coming through this season. But, you know, if he does get healthy at the right time, you know, they do pose a problem when that group plays collectively together. So
I think that would be an awesome series, though. Like, good pick.
That'll be fun.
That would be an incredible series. Fun. Also, just the sentiment with DeRozan against Toronto, you know? Like, that would just, it would be, like, they'd cheer him in the T-dot, obviously.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that aspect of it. That's a good point.
But also, it would be ferocious. Like, I could absolutely see a fight breaking out just because both teams would play so hard.
Like, VanVleet against Vucevic?
Dude, for sure. Like, a weird, exactly. That would be what it is. Like, FVV gets a little bumpy with the chest in Vooch, and Vooch is like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that'd be funny.
All right, our second Western matchup could be a good one, I think. Memphis, who is currently in number 2 in the West, versus Minnesota, who's currently number 7 and looks like an actual bona fide good team. The Grizzlies have the 5th best offensive rating as a team, the 7th best defensive rating. The Timberwolves have the 6th best offensive, the 11th best defensive rating. The Grizzlies have the 24th best 3-point percentage as a team. They stink from outside, even though they have Desmond Bane. The Timbercats have the 12th best. They both go to the line a lot. They both grab rebounds. They both sort of have big threes. I think this matchup would be pretty interesting, but I also kind of wonder if maybe Memphis would just blow Minnesota out of the water because the Timberwolves don't have as deep and complete a team. But, you know, if Memphis can't score, then it won't matter.
I mean, Minnesota, I think they've won, like, what, like 8 out of their last 10 or, like, 9 out. They're hot.
They've
right
been
now.
Incredible. Yeah, they've been amazing.
They just They just beat the Bucks by like 20 points last night.
They have the sixth best record in the year of our Lord 2022. Sixth best.
So, I mean, the T-Wolves, you know, we talked about them early in the year and you started calling them my favorite team. But I said, I'm like, this team is too talented to be like such a just afterthought. And
you were right.
I was wrong because they turned it around and now they're actually, you know, they're not an afterthought. So
they have the same amount of wins as the Nuggets. They have more wins than the Bulls and the Cavaliers and the Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're for real. And I think, you know, I really like what Karl-Anthony Towns has done this year. I think he's kind of like stepped up big time, and he's kind of reminded everyone that he is a superstar. At the beginning of the year, I said I thought Bam Adebayo was my number three ranked big. I fully eat crow on that one. Karl-Anthony Towns is definitely in the conversation right after Embiid, and I'm not considering Giannis as the center, but after Embiid and Jokic, Karl-Anthony Towns cemented himself right there as the number three guy for me. And D'Angelo Russell, like his numbers don't necessarily appeal to the advanced metrics, but like he seems to play in a way that like is conducive to the team performing well.
Yeah.
And Patrick Beverley, you called it. I mean, he's been a great presence there. He's not like, if you just looked at the box score, you wouldn't really see Patrick Beverley's name written all over it. But when you watch the games, like he's making smart plays. He's kind of like a Marcus Smart for these guys where like, he's the guy who's just like, is the ultimate glue guy who's going to like dive on the floor. And like, you know, he's really
starting shit with Russell Westbrook. He's getting ejected from games. He's reminding people that he's been to the playoffs every single fucking year. He is the man. I wish him and Marcus Smart were on the same team. It would be amazing. It is like when you have a team that got disrespected by Jimmy Butler so badly,
mm-hmm.
and then you bring in a dude with sort of a similar mindset in that, like, no, we go hard all the time, but it actually works because he's, like, not the star. I mean, I just think it's been one of the best personnel, like, one of the best roster moves that happened in the offseason because I do think it changed their team. D'Lo,
with that said, though, I was just gonna say with that I'm really excited, but with that said, I'm taking the Grizzlies here. But you can
like could be a sweep. Because like D'Lo is nothing special on defense, even though the team does technically play better when he's out there. They just sort of move better and you like trust them a little bit more. Like Anthony Edwards, like it's fine for his sophomore year. Like this is fine. But you can't let this keep going. Like he has to be the number two with the fucking bullet or the 1A and 1B with Cat for this team to really reach their ceiling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But for this season, D'Lo makes them better. He just does. Even though it doesn't seem like he should. But they don't have as many players as Memphis. Like even though Memphis can't shoot. Yeah.
They have 10 guys. Memphis has 10 legit guys that can play. And, like, they're not even giving any minutes to, like, Jared Culver, who was a top draft pick for them a couple years ago. But they've got Brooks, Jackson, Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark, Zaire Williams, Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton. Oh, yeah, and John Morant.
Steven Adams. Like, they can just throw Steven Adams at Cat. And... Yeah. You know, like Cat's going to drag him out, but it's still going to be really rough for him. And maybe Minnesota is smart enough in the scheme. So it's like, you just can't have Steven Adams out there on the floor. But, you know, I don't know. There's like slow-mo Kyle Anderson is one of our favorite players. He's a human changeup. You know, he's like the weirdest, strangest guy to have out on a court. Because he's going slower than you do.
Yeah, he's
but he's also an incredible defender. And when you put that with Dylan Brooks and, you know, like Desmond Bane is a junkyard dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't. Also, the T-Wolves don't have as a defense that's good enough to protect the rim from the penetration that the Memphis Grizzlies are going to rain down upon them. Yeah. And, you know, I think they're going to stretch them out, and Ja's going to have an incredible series. And yeah, maybe they make it difficult, but I'd sort of be surprised if it went 7. How about that? Like, I think Minnesota gets at least one home game, but I don't think it would go to 7.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. 100%. But yeah, I think that'd be a fun.
I mean, Ant-Man could just be like, cool, you guys had the regular season. I'm now taking over and I'm scoring 30 a game. And I don't care what the fuck the rest of you do.
He hasn't shown me that yet. I'm not giving him, I'm not really expecting anything like that, but you never know. This could be his coming out year.
There's no one on Memphis that could legit guard him if he just decided to take over.
I think you throw Dylan Brooks at him, and you throw Bane at him a little bit.
Do it.
Maybe Brandon Clark or Slow-Mo.
Do all that shit. Throw them all at the same time. I don't care. I'm the Ant-Man. I am a fucking defensive football player. I'm an end. I'm just coming at you. I'm bigger and stronger than you are, and I'm faster, and I'm cool. Yeah. I love Ant-Man so much. Ugh.
You do.
Okay.
That'll be a cool matchup, though.
It would. I think I like seeing these players, and I'm excited to see Minnesota in the playoffs, even though I don't end up thinking that it would be a good series. Yeah. But I am just sort of excited to see these players play against each other. And what does Pat Bev do with Ja? Like, he'll do something. He'll do something at least a couple times. I could also see Pat Bev, like, loving Ja Morant and being like, no, this kid's tough as nails. He's going to be Hall of Famer. You know, even
he'll say that after,
after
the series.
Right.
He'll, like, have chipped his tooth in game 3.
Sure.
And then...
But Ja's so tough. Like, I can really see, like, the other tough dudes in the NBA sort of, like, nodding silently, being like, yep, respect.
Yeah, everyone loves
him. He's a good one.
Everyone loves him.
All right. What is our... next, we did 3, right? Is this the last one? We coming up
this
on
is,
your second
last
Eastern
one
Conference?
Is one that we kind of talked about once that trade happened, but we're going to delve a little deeper into Philadelphia against Brooklyn, the Nets at 76ers, or vice versa.
Tri-state area. Let's go Northeast. Elite media. Come on.
Yeah. Well, technically, that's not the tri-state. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut.
Philadelphia doesn't count? Okay, I'm sorry. It's all one big Northeast corridor to me, man. I used to live in D.C. It's just 95 and up. Who cares?
Exactly. Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, for sure. Same amount of hair.
Yeah.
The Sixers are currently 2nd in the Eastern Conference. The Nets are 8th. But, you know, who cares about the seeding, really? The Sixers have the 10th best defensive rating. The Nets have the 22nd. The Sixers for the year have the 13th best offensive. The Nets have the 9th, but like none of that matters because Philly didn't have Harden for most of the year and Brooklyn did. Both teams are like okay shooting from outside, whatever. Both teams, I mean, Philadelphia gets to the line at the 3rd best rate in the league. Brooklyn does not. They're 17th, but again, they play without Kyrie a lot, and you know who cares.
Yeah, I was gonna say these are full season numbers.
Totally.
So
the only thing that concerns me with the Sixers is that they have a really terrible rebounding. Like they're 29th in rebounding as a team. I could see that maybe fucking them a little bit. Not to the point where it means they'll lose, but like that's not. It's not great, Bob, especially against a team that has dudes like Bruce Brown who are athletes running around trying to get rebounds, like a little bit more Raptors-esque, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know if Ben Simmons will be playing. In this series, Kyrie would be able to play in Philadelphia, and since Philadelphia has the higher seed, he'd be able to play more games in Philly than Brooklyn, which is ironic because that could end up helping Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Which kind of strange.
So what's been reported for the last several weeks is that potentially for the playoffs, the Nets could pay a fine and have Kyrie. And yeah, the Nets were just fined $50,000 for Kyrie going into the locker room last week. So, you know, I think it would probably be north of that, I would assume. But if they would pay $100,000 a game for him to play at home, I think that would be worth it for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, you if all it costs is money for you to play Kai, then you should spend the money to play Kai, because you're already in.
You're already
like
paying,
don't let yeah. Even though I disagree with it, and it's still. You know, it's still the law of the land in New York City. Like, I don't care if people think it's stupid. There's a good moral argument to be made that you shouldn't be able to pay your way out of doing something like this. But who cares? They're obviously going to play Kyrie if they can.
Yeah. So
if all it costs is money, then they'll do it.
So if you think about the team, let's say, I think at this point you have to you can't really expect a whole lot from Ben Simmons, which is surprised me, because I thought Ben Simmons would have been like chomping at the bit to get back out there. And I guess some of them are saying he has some back issues and he's not in game shape. So
he had an epidural in his back.
Yeah.
Which means that like epidurals are for women, like they don't cure what it is. They make you feel less pain. Like they mask symptoms. They don't fix the problem.
When you're delivering a baby, you get an epidural. So
maybe something's going on that we don't know about. Maybe we have a twin situation.
Yeah. So it leads me to wonder like what was he doing for the last 6 months? But
maybe his back's super fucked up though, and he couldn't do anything. And he didn't want to say anything because that would have meant he might not get traded.
Maybe that would actually be the most plausible explanation. But even without him, it looks pretty good. They look pretty
for Brooklyn.
Pretty
you
ridiculous.
Mean
ridiculous? Yeah, for Brooklyn, they look pretty deadly. And you know, I think that. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting to that one game they played, but it looked like they had Harden's number a little bit, and Embiid can't do it all. So I don't know. I like Brooklyn in this matchup, assuming Kyrie plays every game with or without Ben Simmons. If they get anything out of Ben Simmons, then I think I like them even more. But I like Brooklyn.
Like losing Seth Curry and Andre Drummond actually really hurt the Sixers, I think.
Yeah,
like they
missed
both of those players. Yeah.
We talked about that Seth Curry being included in that deal was like a huge deal. And like people kind of glossed over that. And they're like, oh, you got James Harden and Ben Simmons was doing nothing. But it's like you also gave up, Drummond too, but you gave up Curry, who's like, he looks like incredible right now. Like he's not a star, but he's like, about as good of a role player as there is in the NBA right now. He may be like the best, you know, non superstar guy, non max contract guy right now.
He replaces Joe Harris.
Yeah.
And you know, like who's better at defense? Who cares? Like you're there for threes and to help open up space for everybody else. And he's one of the best to do it. He's literally one of the best 3-point shooters in NBA history. How you can give up a guy like that. Yeah. And he's Doc Rivers' son-in-law, right?
Yeah, son-in-law. Something? He's Doc's son-in-law.
Okay. They also have Goran Dragic, the Nets. The Nets have Goran Dragic.
Super tough for them. And whenever I've watched him, he's doing something. Like he is 100% bought in.
Dude,
like
he's a Miami Heat guy. He's another Eastern fucking European with a goddamn huge chip on his shoulder. he's been in big games. He also knows how to play off of stars. He played in Phoenix. I don't know if that means that he and Steve Nash like knew each other, but it's like he's another dude with a big IQ and a lot of experience. So it's not like he's some, you know, punk coming in off the street. Like, he knows what to do. He and Kai are just going to wreak havoc, I think, in the playoffs together. I think those two together are going to be really, really good. Patty Mills now gets to be like your, what, seventh player? You know, like, you're not expecting him to win you games like they were for the entire season. He's also like a better 3-point shooter than most of the people on the 76ers. If Tyrese Maxey hadn't made a pretty significant leap, then I think the Sixers would be a much worse team. But like, if Danny Green and Matisse Thybulle can hold it together on defense, then I don't know. I mean, like, Thybulle is like a Robert Covington elite help defender. He's not an elite one-on-one guy. Like, he's not shutting down Kyrie or Kevin Durant. He's not even as good a one-on-one guy as Dorian Finney-Smith, but he's a really good help defender. And him and Embiid is still extremely potent on the defensive end of the court. And if Danny Green can be competent and can hit some threes, and Toby's out there, like, hopefully hitting some shit, then the question, and you know that Embiid's going to be up for it, so the question is Harden. In that game against Brooklyn, Harden got shut down, like you said. Like, yeah, they fucking had his number. If they have his number again, can Philadelphia win a game?
They'll win a game because Embiid is just such an unstoppable force, and the Nets have no answer for him. They have Kevin Durant will get matched up on him at times, and he'll do an admirable job, but he'll get bullied. Claxton, I guess you throw him at him, at them, you throw LaMarcus a little bit, but like,
he's if LMA can play.
Yeah, he's too quick for him. He's going to be too strong for Claxton. And Claxton, you know, he's just not – he'll get in foul trouble probably. So I think Embiid will have like a 40 and 15 game.
He's going to destroy Drum. He's just going to fucking put him. But like, do the Nets want that? Do they just want Embiid going at Drum? And they're like, yeah, let Drum foul out. Who cares? Let the Sixers shoot twos and free throws rather than threes.
Yeah, I think they do. But I think that if there's one game where the Nets shots aren't falling, though, the Sixers will be fine for at least like a win or two. I don't think it's going to be a lopsided series, but I do think if those guys are all playing for Brooklyn, that they win this in six, probably.
It's so much shooting on Brooklyn if everyone's like pretty healthy.
Yeah, and Kyrie's efficient. He's been so efficient. Like, KD, you expect him to be efficient, but Kyrie's been just like, it's been absurd how efficient he's been with his scoring.
And like, Kyrie's defense versus Harden's defense, like, who cares, really? I'm so impressed with Maxey this season. I really, really am. I never expected this from him. But, you know, he's a young dude. Like, these are huge games. It's for a little unfair to expect.
Let me ask you this. Sure. So, obviously, if you're building a team for a keeper league, you take Maxey over Seth Curry. But for this year, who would you rather have right now if you're Philly? Curry or Maxey? For this year only.
I think I'd rather have Curry. Yeah. I think I'd rather like playing off him with Toby on the perimeter. Because that just opens it up more for Harden. And if Harden isn't right, then you have almost no chance. Because, well, let me ask you this. Like, which team has the best player?
I still have to go with Kevin Durant. As great as Joel Embiid is playing this year, Kevin Durant, to me, is still probably the best player in the world right now. I'm taking him over LeBron. I love Jokic, I love Giannis, but like, Kevin Durant is still probably the guy in a playoff series that I'm the most scared of.
he's the only dude I would choose over Giannis. I think those two are on a different level in seven-game series. Even though Embiid, I mean, like, Embiid can shoot threes. You know, like, he had to fucking learn because Ben Simmons won't shoot. But oh, that's another thing.
You're happy if he's shooting three. You'll take that all day if you're the Nets.
Here's another thing, though. Tybalt can't shoot threes at all, just like Ben Simmons couldn't. Like, the Sixers still sort of have the same problem. There's a non-shooter out there all the time.
The Sixers, it's weird that they keep – they've had Simmons, but they continue to draft, like, non-shooters. Like, they drafted Fultz to play with Simmons. Then they draft Tybalt. So it's like, you guys knew you didn't have a shooter in Simmons, and you went out and got more non-shooters in the draft.
But the thing is, man, if Harden is real Harden, if he's the beard, then I think the calculus goes out the window, and it's 50-50. Like, if he can get to the line and his threes are hitting, I think that changes things. And I think that's why Morey is like, that's why it was so important to get him, because his ceiling can be so randomly high that it can change the outcome of the series, even though his floor can be so randomly low that it also changes the series. It's just it's so up or down. I don't know. Like, I could seriously see Philly getting kicked out and Embiid being like, you can't keep this guy. Like, I'd rather have Russell Westbrook, like, trade Harden to the Lakers right now. Get him out of here. Anyway, awesome series. I really hope that happens. Like, when was the last time you saw a playoff series with two teams that had traded with each other like this? I mean, two teams have rarely traded with each other like this. And, I mean, I want to see Embiid do well. Like, I'd love to see Embiid do well. I think some of the sentiment for me is just, like, we've seen Kevin Durant win a championship. I don't give a shit about Kyrie Irving. He's won a chip. Harden, do I want to see him win a ring? Not really. I don't care. Like, I'm not anti. But it's about Embiid. I don't think he's the MVP anymore. But I would like to see him at least in the conference finals, you know?
No, I think everyone loves what Embiid's doing, and you know, he's going to get a serious. I still think he's going to win MVP, but Jokic is making a very strong case for it.
Brandon, what if the Sixers get eliminated in the first round? Like, what happens? It's Doc Rivers, who has lost more series when up 3-1 than anyone else.
I wouldn't be shocked. It's a tough, with the way the format works and the way these potential matchups could work, and with Brooklyn down there, it's a tough, there's really no, like, favorable matchup right now. So you look at the Raptors, right? We talked about them. The teams that are really scary are in the bottom half of the playoff bracket. So,
dude, Atlanta's right there. They're in the 10th. Yeah. Like, you don't really want to see Trae Young, I don't think. Yeah. Like, you don't want to see Kevin Durant. But, goddamn. I would think about maybe some shenanigans if I were Philly and be like, I'd rather do the 4-5.
Yeah.
Like, let's try to win a few or lose a few games. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. Those are four matchups we would like to see. Let's move to some player ads. This week, we are going to go by position. You're either entering your playoffs or you have a couple more weeks. I mean, the season ends on April 10th, I think. If you're in Roto, if you're just straight going through the season, we're going to give you some guys. I will start off. So we're going to go point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. Brandon.
30% owned, right?
Exactly.
Go ahead. 30 and under. So I was just going to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, my highest dude was 30%. Actually, you go first.
All right, if you want me to. So I'll go from point guard up. So at point guard, 7% owned, Bones Highland.
Oh yeah.
Looks like he could be a guy that's 15-5-5 for a team that's clearly fighting for playoff positioning, so every game matters. He looks really good. He's got the best player, like we talked about, distributing to him. And he's a guy that like really has a chip on his shoulder. Some of the scouts said that he was one of the guys that would like be a non-lottery pick that would be kind of less heralded in the beginning, but a guy that they wouldn't be surprised if was like really making a name for himself in a few years. So Bones Highland's a guy like as a current pickup and as a dynasty guy.
Dude, last 2 weeks, he's been a top 100 player in basic, 4.3 assists per game, a steal per game, and 2.4 three-pointers made.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, yeah. Like, and for, like we said, like, thin bench. You know, like, yep. They just need scoring. So,
He's a defender, so also, he's out there for his defense, too.
Incredible NBA name. Just a sensational NBA name. If you don't have room on your team for a motherfucker named Bones, then I think you're doing it wrong. That's just my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Bones Highland, what a cool, cool dude. Also rookie. Yeah. Yep. So, like you said, Dynasty Leagues, pick that dude up.
Yep. At shooting guard, I'm not going to talk about him a lot, but KCP, a guy totally. That we know what he does. He's going to score. He's going to give you threes, and he's going to give you some steals. Lately this year, his assists have ticked up from time to time. He's 19% owned, and that's my shooting guard.
Dude, he is a top 100 player on the season, and the past 2 weeks he's been top 75.
Yep.
If you don't need that, then God bless.
Yeah. Call me when you get your ring.
For sure.
At the three, this guy's eligible at the three or the four if your league specifies the positions there. But Darius Bazley, 23% owned.
Mm-hmm.
Last month he's been a 14 points, 6 rebounds, couple assists. He's a stock guy. He's right around one steal and one block. And in the last 2 weeks, his three-pointers and his scoring has ticked up. So he was shooting around 1.5 threes a game. But in the last couple weeks, he's closer to 2.5 threes. And his scoring has gone up from 14 points a game to 18. So
yeah,
that's a guy we've talked about a few times. He's still really young. I think he's 22 or 23. I don't remember exactly. But he's like – he's a baby. 23% owned. And he's on a team that has like a void of like – they need someone to score. Yeah. So.
Dude, Josh Giddey is out. Lou Dort is out. SGA has an ankle thing. Like, if they shut him down, that wouldn't be surprising. Darius Bazley is second in minutes and shots over the past 2 weeks. He's also shooting 51% over the past 15 days.
The one knock on him
you need to play somebody.
Yeah. Free throws are not very good, but he doesn't shoot a ton of free throws, so he's not going to have a huge impact on your – but, you know, if he's going to score 15 to 18 points and give you 6 rebounds and hit the three-pointer now, I like him. And he's a stock guy, I like him.
And you have to play somebody in Oklahoma City. Like they literally have to play somebody. If SGA gets shut down, then Bazley is by default like the best player remaining.
Yeah, exactly. At the four, Old Faithful, Kevin Love, exactly 30% owned. Just consistent, 12-7 with 2.5 threes and great percentages across the board. Not going to give you many stocks, but he's going to shoot the three, he's going to rebound, and he's going to have good free throw percentage, good field goal percentage, and good three-point percent. So,
dude, and that team keeps losing guys. I mean, like, he might be playing 38 minutes in 2 days. Like,
care?
Who knows?
They don't care about his knees.
He's another dude. He's been number 100 on the player radar for the season. Like you said, his stats won't wow you, but you're not going to find wow most of the time on the available on the wire right now. So,
yep.
Yeah, a vintage sixth man, like, does what you ask him to do.
Yep. And then last but not least, at the five, I've got Jackson Hayes, 7% owned. Nothing totally too sexy, but, like, 12.6 rebounds and, like, maybe a block and a steal. So he's kind of like a Robert Williams light. You know, he's not going to play 35 minutes, but if he's going to play 25 to 30, which it looks like he's going to do, I think you can count on double digit scoring and like him flirting with a double double. And then if he gets you two stocks, great. He's only going to get dunks and, you know, close shots at the rim. So it's going to help your field goal percentage. Not going to really contribute in the 3 points. But you know, that's not what you're looking for there. It's a traditional or not a traditional, but the new traditional NBA center type of guy who's just going to run the floor and try to block shots and get dunks.
And I think he started today, actually.
No, they're playing him. They're definitely letting him
play. So, and the Pelicans are in the 10th seed in the West. You know, if Brandon Ingram can't play, then I don't have high hopes for that team. But that just means that there's more minutes for Jackson Hayes. So I like that pickup as well. Okay. My point guard, let's go with Emmanuel Quickly. He's coming off the bench for the New York Knickerbockers. He's a top 50 player over the past 2 weeks. He's getting you six boards a game in the point guard position. I'll take that. With over four assists per game. He's getting minutes. Like, there's really no reason why the Knicks shouldn't be starting him over Alec Burks, and maybe that changes. So maybe he gets even more minutes and shots down the stretch. But he's coming off the bench right now, and he's still a top 50 player.
And that's a guy that I still like in dynasty leagues, because I do think that going into next year, unless somebody comes via free agency or trade at the point guard spot, or you know, the Knicks draft like a point guard really high. I don't know what their draft pick situation is going to be, but I mean, we can.
They should be playing Quickly so that their draft pick odds improve.
Yeah, but I think Quickly is going to have a shot to still be the lead guard there not the lead guard there, but, you know, kind of off play with, if you consider Barrett the shooting guard, I guess Quickly would be kind of the point guard there with him. So I like that a lot. And like I said, I like him for this year, and I like him for dynasty leagues. Burke's been holding on. He plays, and if you're looking for assists, he's a guy that gives you some assists. But I do think Quickly, we all know he has just a lot more upside.
It's such Thibodeau bullshit. Anyway, let's talk about two shooting guard bulls who are available in over 70% of leagues. We mentioned them earlier already. Ayo Dosunmu and Alex Caruso are both under 30% rostered. They are not going to give you points per game, but you know this. At his best, when Caruso was playing earlier this season, he was giving you assists, rebounds, steals, and blocks, but no points. Ayo is giving you like around 10 points and then a handful of the other counting stats and efficiency. If you can't get anything wow at the two, then go for something solid. So, I mean, Caruso maybe played sparingly, but both of those guards give you valuable counting stats and everything except points.
And you'd expect for Caruso, by the time as the season progresses here, that they try to ramp him up, because I would expect that they want him to be ready to go 100% for playoffs. So, you know, they're going to hopefully ramp up his minutes over the next 2 weeks.
And Patrick Williams hasn't played since October. You know, like, you can't just throw him in, and he's a second-year player. You can't just throw him into, like, 30 minutes a game. You know, like, he's going to play, like, 8 and then 10 and then 12. Like, because if he gets injured again, you don't even want to think about it. He was supposed to be the wing glue on defense that really helped this team, and hopefully he will be. Fingers crossed. At the 3... I want to talk about Herb Jones, but I want to talk about Kuminga even more. Brandon, Steph Curry, not great. He's out. Kuminga was elevated when Dre was out. He's really sort of picked up the slack when the team asked him to. I think Curry being out, obviously most of his minutes and shots go to Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
But, Kuminga, his role, I don't think is going to diminish. In fact, I think it's going to improve somewhat. I think they're going to rely on him a little bit more. I love this guy. Absolutely love him. I think it makes Wiggins it. I think he makes Wiggins expendable in the offseason. I like Moody a lot too, but Kuminga has really impressed, I think. He's a top 100 player the past 2 weeks, averaging 15 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, an assist, and a three-pointer made. He's a rookie who's playing on a difficult team to be a rookie on. That's a terrible sentence, but it's like you're on a team with title contention aspirations. You're on a team where your center, if everyone's healthy, is also your point guard. You know, Klay Thompson's coming back from 2 years off.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggins is there, and he's, you know, doing his thing, but you're also competing with him, sort of, at the position. It's just such a fucking weird situation to be in for a young wing. And I think Kuminga's looked great. He looks so fucking...
He's special.
He's athletic on a team that needs athleticism, and he seems, like, composed. You know, like, he's not afraid of it.
No, he's the real deal. He's been a guy that everyone thought had just – he's got about as high of upside as anybody that's come out of the draft in the last few years. So,
under 10% rostered. Mm. Under 10% rostered.
Obviously, it should go without saying that he should be picked up in all dynasty leagues. But – He's intriguing. I agree. And he has some versatility to his game where he can play several different spots. So you can use him almost kind of – he's kind of like complements Draymond in a way where, like, you can kind of fit them in with different size lineups and different skill lineups, and they work well. You mentioned Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole is – he's got the green light now. But Kuminga has definitely, I think Steve Kerr trusts him at this point. And so it seems like, you know, he's gotten his minutes floor has been elevated. So, you know, at this point, even if all the other guys are healthy, I think he's kind of carved out a certain, you know, amount of playing time.
I'm excited to see what he does in the playoffs. Like, he just has like a pretty good quarter.
He'll have some highlights for sure.
Yeah, dude. And that's great for him being so young, you know? And like, he's the youngin' to watch in Golden State, not Wiseman, I think. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the Portland Trail Blazers real fast as I give you my four and my five, my power forward and my center. Wow.
I think I know where one of these guys is.
Brandon, do you know who starts at the power forward and the center position for your Portland Trailblazers?
Is one of them Drew Eubanks?
That is correct. He starts at the five. He does not yet have eligibility in ESPN for the center position.
Yeah.
He's a power forward.
Who's the other dude?
Okay. Is Trendon Watford.
Yeah, Watford, the guy you mentioned a few weeks back.
That's right. He is first in minutes per game for the Blazers over the past 2 weeks. You've never heard of him before in your whole life. You've never seen him. You don't know what he sounds like. His name is Trendon Watford, which sounds like it's from a BBC show. He has been a top 50 player the past 2 weeks, averaging 16, 7, and 2 with over a block per game. Drew Eubanks, who's starting at center and I think was traded over from the Spurs, has been top 75. He's averaging 12 and 8 with 2 dimes per game. Anfernee Simons is now out too, maybe for the rest of the season. So Brandon Williams is getting run at the point guard. Aside from, oh my God, what's his face? Who got traded from the Pelicans? Josh Hart. Like everybody else on Portland, you've never heard of them before, but yeah, they're getting minutes and they're getting shots. Like these guys are getting so much volume and they're kids. It's a rookie and a second or third year player. They're getting minutes and shots. Portland wants to lose, but because the Lakers keep losing, the Blazers remain on the cusp of actually making the play tournament, which would be so fucking hysterical. I can't even think about it. But both these guys, Eubanks and Watford, they're getting minutes, they're getting shots, they're giving you double-digit points, and they're giving you rebounds. And rebounds at this stage of the season, like starters-level amount of rebounds and volume, is so fucking important. Like, if you picked up Campaign, great. You're getting 10 rebounds a game, or 10 assists per game. But, like, for the boards, it's really hard. I mean, Andre Drummond's out there. He's 50% owned. You know, he'll get you double-doubles and give you boards. But these guys, if you use them as a unit, like, if you can stream two spots at once, you're basically giving yourself 20 and 20 every game from those two spots.
Yep.
Now, that's a rough thing to do because you don't know who they are. You're not watching Trailblazers games, and you don't really want to have to depend on these guys. But just like we said with Oklahoma City, you got to play somebody.
Yeah.
Someone needs to shoot. Someone needs to pass. And these are the guys that Portland is putting out there. So they are in – like these guys, I have no idea if they're going to be all-stars, if they're actually good. It's the opportunity that matters. They're getting volume, yep. So you can pick them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are when it comes down to the playoffs, a lot of times the players that win it for you are guys that didn't play really all year. It's the guys who just emerge at that time. Yeah. So,
and you picked them up before someone else did.
Yep. So.
Okay. So that is by position. What is that? 10 dudes, a little bit more than that.
11, because you gave us two shooting guards. So
that's right. Thank you. Also, Alperen Sengun is out there still. And if Christian Wood gets shut down by the Rockets, then he'll get starter level minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to add, Brandon?
I think that does it for me. Our fantasy playoffs start tomorrow for our main league. So
worst of luck, bud.
I'm still kind of waiting to see what happens tonight to see if I get the first round bye. It looks like I should, but I could still miss out by a close margin. So watching the boards right now.
The standings matter a lot more for you than for me. I'm basically plugged into the fourth seed and I'm probably going to lose in the first round. But maybe next year.
You have a tough matchup against Quickly's Floater.
I'm playing Embiid.
Oh, actually, I kind of like your odds in that matchup. So you against your cousin. That'll be
well. I have Kevin Durant, so it would be like a Sixers Nets matchup. But he has Russell Westbrook, and I don't have anyone that can get me triple doubles. So that could be a huge problem.
That is tough. But all right, well, good luck. And I'll talk to you later, man.
Have a good week. Good luck to everybody. And enjoy March Madness. Go Blue.